All right, go with me, if you would, back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, let's read these three verses again. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. He offered up his only begotten son. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, we know this story well, don't we? We've heard this story many times. Isaac was the promised son, right? The one by whom God said all the blessings would come. Isaac. It's going to be in Isaac. It's not Ishmael. It's in Isaac. Spiritually, he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. Spiritually, he represents God the Father. This transaction that takes place between Abraham and Isaac, this transaction we just read about, this is one of the clearest illustrations that we have of the transaction that God the Father and God the Son made in the redemption of their people. One of the clearest examples we have, this beautiful, holy transaction, reveals to us what God demanded and what Christ endured and provided in the sacrifice of himself. Tonight, I want us to go through this story, and I want us to see our substitute. With each piece of this story, I want us to relate it to Christ, our sacrifice. As we go through it, I want us to see the comparison as we go through the story. I want to worship him, honor him, praise him, and remember him through this wonderful transaction. What a transaction. What a great, great transaction. God recorded this in his word for us. How kind. Let's start by seeing the necessity of the transaction. How vital it was that this transaction be made. Verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Do we see how factual, how dogmatic that is? Abraham offered up Isaac. He offered up his only begotten son. Now, again, we know this story. Did Abraham actually plunge the knife into Isaac? No. No. But God says right here that Abraham's sacrifice was complete. Isn't that right? He says it was complete. It was done. He offered him up. That's what God said. If Abraham did not stab the knife into Isaac's chest, why would God say he offered him up? Two reasons. The second one I'll give in a minute. The first one is, God looks on the heart. God looks directly on the heart. To Abraham, in his heart, it was done. It was done. It was already finished. Abraham did it. He committed it in his heart. Now, this is what that tells us. Even if we have not committed to certain sins, even if we have not openly committed to certain sins, We've committed about every sin there is in this heart. Isn't that right? And God looks on the heart. And in His eyes, they're done. They're done. We are, in God's eyes, we are as vile as we know our heart to be. In God's eyes, we are as vile as we know our mind to be. They're done. We committed them. We've committed mountains of sins against Him. Mountains and mountains and mountains of sins against Him, and they must be dealt with. They must be. A sin offering must be made. And God declares the gospel to us of how that sin offering was made by the sacrifice of our Lord Himself. Here's where our story begins. Our substitute in this sacrifice begins. Go with me to Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 9 says, "And they said unto him," this is our Lord and two angels with him, "they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And Abraham said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Romans 4 mentions the deadness of Sarah's womb. No life in her. The deadness of Sarah's womb. The exact same thing can be said about a young woman named Mary. The exact same thing. No life in her. God's messenger came to her and he said, "You're going to have a son." And she said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" No life in me. How can this be? There's no life in me. And he said, "The life of God is coming to you. The life of God Almighty. Man is not going to take part in this at all. This is going to be totally by the hand and the grace of God. And through the work and the grace of God, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and she's going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us." And he said in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? It shall happen. He shall come. He is coming." Look with me at Genesis 21. Genesis 21, verse 1 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him." He circumcised him at 8 days old. Verse 5, "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. She rejoiced so greatly. She bore a son out of the deadness of her womb. God showed his kindness to her. God kept his promise to her, and she rejoiced in it, and she said, God has made me to laugh, and everybody who hears this is going to laugh with me. I tell you, somebody who laughed with her, a man named Simeon. When our Lord was, earthly speaking, 8 days old, he was brought into the temple to be circumcised according to and in fulfillment of the law. And when Simeon saw this 8-day-old holy child, he laid hold of that child. He lifted him up in his arms. And I can see this man. I promise you, Simeon knew who this was. I promise you, when you lay eyes on God, it's not a mundane thing. It's not I can see this man with such excitement and joy and tears in his eyes, crying, I can die in peace. I can die in peace, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Don't you know Simeon studied the eyes? He looked into and studied the eyes of the 8-day-old God-man. Can't you imagine him as he holds him? He knows who this is. He's read about him. He read Isaiah 7. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And here he is holding God. Looking, I wonder what the eyes of a child look like who currently has all the government on his shoulders. Can you imagine? Don't you know Simeon looked at his shoulders thinking all the government is right there? He studied him. He knew what the scripture said about him. He was holding sinlessness. Can you imagine? He had in his hands the only thing that was sinless on earth. Oh, I see why he's such a sweet-smelling savor to God. He is God. This is God. Simeon knew as soon as he saw him, I can die in peace. He came. The Savior came. The sacrifice for sin came. God kept his promise. That's what we have. That for 4,000 years, the saints before us were hoping for. We now can look back and say, God kept his promise. The Savior came. The hope of glory, he came. Look with me at Genesis 22. Verse 1 says, And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. When our Lord confessed his union with his people in baptism, as he was coming up out of the water, God the Father spoke out loud, and he said, This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, my firstborn, my only begotten, well pleased. Verse 2, he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Well, wait a minute, Abraham. I thought you said you were going to sacrifice your son. That's right. And both of you are going to come again? That's right. Well, how can that be? Because God said so. God said so. God said, I am to offer him. And God also said, through his seed shall the blessing come. Well, how can that be? You can't cling to both. Oh, yes, I can. If God said it, amen. Amen. If God said it, amen. Abraham believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. Isn't that what we read in Hebrews 11? Abraham believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. Now, to this point, I never realized this before. To this point in history, no one had ever been raised from the dead. Nobody. He didn't have any examples to go on. Nobody. He was convinced in his heart, God, I'm going to kill him just like God told me to. And this is the son that the blessing is coming through. And he believed in his heart God was able to raise him from the dead. Why would he believe that if nobody had ever been raised from the dead? It's because everything about this account points us to Christ. God caused him to believe that to point us to Christ. God said, you take your only begotten, well-beloved son to the top of that mountain and you offer him there for a sacrifice. A sacrifice for sin. And Abraham took the fuel for consumption. He took the wood. He took the fuel for consumption. That wood represents our sin. It's man's sin that keeps God's fiery wrath burning. It's man's sin that keeps that fire going. It said Abraham clave the wood. That means he split the wood. He split it wide open. He exposed it for what he is. He got to the heart of what it truly is. And then he laid it on his son. Isaiah said, he carried our griefs and our sorrows. That wood is our sin. He carried it. Our sin was split wide open, exposed for what it truly was, and laid on him. Verse 6 says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took what needed to be consumed and laid it on his son. Verse 6 says, and he took the fire in his hand. He took what would do all the consuming into his own hand. Verse 6 says, and he took a knife, a sharp two-edged sword, and they went, both of them together. God the Father and God the Son laid hold of sin. They laid hold of the fiery judgment. And they laid hold of the holy law of God's Word. And they took him to the top of a mountain. Golgotha's Hill. The place of the skull. Mount Calvary. Verse 7 says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? You know what he was asking? Where is the gospel? That's what he was asking. Where is the gospel? A man can lay hold of the wood. This is important. A man can lay hold of the wood. That represents our sin. A man can lay hold of the fire. It represents God's wrath and judgment. A man can lay hold of the knife, the sharp two-edged sword, sin, wrath, and law. A man can lay hold of sin, wrath, and law. He can lay hold of sin, wrath, and law. But without a lamb, there's no gospel. Without a lamb, there's no gospel. He could dwell on the wood. He could hound the wood. He'd be speaking the truth. Man is sinful. He'd have it. You got it. Man is sinful. He could dwell on the fire. His whole message could be on the subject of God's wrath. He'd be telling the truth. Did the man tell the truth? He sure did. God is a God of judgment and wrath against sin. He could dwell on the law, and he'd be declaring the truth. This is what God demands to stand in his presence. This is what a man will be judged by. A man could have all of those truthful things, but without a lamb, there's no gospel. The gospel is in the lamb. Verse 7 says, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. John the Baptist cried, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The apostle John said, I looked and I saw a throne. And seated on that throne was a lamb as it had been slain. Abraham said, My son, God will provide his own lamb. That's the gospel. God will provide his own lamb. And he said, My son, God will provide himself to be that lamb. He'll provide his own lamb. He'll provide himself to be that lamb. Verse 9, And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He was touched with the feeling of all that wood. Touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Verse 10 says, And the father stretched forth his hand and took the holy word of God's law to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now Isaac is going to show us our condition. Isaac now is going to represent our condition through Christ our substitute. Verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, by the crown of his head. Mark 15 says, And they clothed our Lord with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Verse 13 goes on to say, And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. That ram is Christ. That ram is Christ taking the place of his condemned people. When we started this, I said there was two reasons why Hebrews 11:17 says Abraham offered up his son. Abraham did not actually plunge the knife into Isaac, his son. He did not actually plunge the knife into the one that God told him to sacrifice. But verse 13 right here says, Abraham actually plunged the knife into Isaac, his son. Abraham actually plunged the knife into the one that God told him to sacrifice. Abraham plunged the knife into that ram. And when he plunged that ram, he was plunging his son. According to God Almighty in Hebrews 11, verse 17. That ram did not just take the responsibility away from Isaac. God said he offered up Isaac. God said he offered up his only begotten son. That ram became Isaac. That ram was made to be Isaac. He didn't just take that responsibility away. That ram was made to be Isaac. God said he offered up his only begotten son. In that ram, Isaac was offered up. In that ram, Abraham obeyed God. And in that ram, God was satisfied. Verse 14 says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh." That means the Lord will see or provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. If we want to see God's provision for a sinner, all we have to do is look to the mount. That's all we have to do. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God will provide. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And that's what we're looking to right there. The mount of the Lord. God will provide. God will provide. A substitute. Not only a substitute who took our place, but a substitute who became us. Became us. On that mountain of God's judgment and wrath. I died. Didn't Paul say, I'm crucified. I was crucified. In Christ, I was crucified. Nevertheless, I live. I died in Him. He became us. We see our own sacrifice in Him. Our own sacrifice. And in the same way God raised Him up, we believe and we are sure. Through God's Word, we believe and we are sure that through His death, through that sin being laid on Him, through the law smiting Him, through God's wrath consuming Him, because of our Lamb dying as us, God is going to raise us up at the last day. He's going to raise us up at the last day, living as Him. He died as us, we live as Him. He said, as He is, so are we. Now, we're about to worship Him for doing this. We're about to remember Him for doing this. We're about to confess. That's what this is. We're going to confess that we are partakers with Him in this. Partakers of Him in this. We confess it openly before God and each other. He died for me, I died in Him. We don't want to take it, as the Scripture says, unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. That's what unworthily means. It's not, well, I just don't feel worthy, I'm too much of a sinner. If you're not a sinner, you're unworthy. Only sinners are worthy. We take this discerning the Lord's body. He became me, and that was what I was had coming to me. And because of that, as He is, so am I. That's what I have coming to me. We take this discerning His body, believing that His one sacrifice accomplished everything God required, every single thing God required to settle our debt and make us acceptable in His presence. And if we don't believe that our Lord became us and settled it all, if we believe we need to add something to it or take something from it, let's not take the table. It's finished. It is completely, totally finished. We're not trusting in anything but that right there alone, that death alone. If we see our own sacrifice in Him, then let's take of this table. Let's confess it. Let's honor Him. Let's worship Him. Let's thank Him. praise Him for that great sacrifice He made. All right, Brother Jared, you come up.